Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Chiefs, Eagles, Super Bowl. Yet again. Got some interesting news about what the game and what the teams are going to look like. Uniform news. Get to that in a minute. Yeah. But Perloff, we've been asking this morning, what would you rather see, a Chiefs three-peat or a Chiefs loss? Obviously, you're a fan of either of these teams. You know, you got your rooting interest. But for others, for casual fans, anyone in between, football fans, mm-hmm. do you want to see the greatness? Or are you so, you know, turned off by the Kansas City Chiefs, would you like to see them lose? Even if it's to a team like the Eagles, which is not exactly winning any popularity contest nationwide. Now, you can go vote on that poll at Maggie and Pearl, but I've got another question for you.
Yeah.
Let's do a little fast forward here. These are two teams who have been contenders for the last, you know, 5-6 years. This is some good stretch, good run here for both the Eagles and the Chiefs, and obviously it's the second time they're meeting in the Super Bowl.
Right.
In 3 years. Who do you think is more likely to make it back next year?
I mean, this is quite obvious. I mean, it's definitely the Chiefs. Where are the Chiefs going? I actually was trying to convince myself that the Chiefs dynasty was coming to an end because Travis Kelce was getting old, but they seem unbeatable no matter what the circumstance. The Eagles are going to take a step back next year. I'll tell you exactly why.
Okay, tell us.
I'll tell you 345 reasons. Saquon, they ran him into the ground this year. 345 carries is in the top 50 all time of any season. Much like Christian McCaffrey last year, like you have a superstar running back, you just wear him out. There's no way he's going to be healthy next year. It's just the way history, NFL history works. So you're not going to get Saquon next year. Jalen Hurts gets hurt all the time. So that two things is automatically going to make it impossible for the Eagles to get back.
Okay, you don't see that Saquon Barkley could have like a Terrell Davis kind of run where it's not just one dominant season and he can put together a string of a couple like really, really great seasons?
I think NFL history says that's unlikely. And Terrell Davis had that cut blocking thing. Anybody could have run through those holes. Yeah, then Alanis Gary did the next year, and then Mike Davis did the year after that. I think that Saquon is going to have trouble next year.
Okay, but here's the thing. Philadelphia Eagles offensive line, always been great. Good. Drafting replacements when you need them. I mean, why would you think that Saquon Barkley will still have success running behind a really great line?
I think it's a matter of science. I think if you carry the ball that many times, you're going to wear down. It's a longer season now than it used to be when Emmitt played. I just don't think that running backs can do that anymore.
See, I think the Eagles have a better shot of getting back next year because look again at the quarterbacks that you face in the AFC versus the quarterbacks in the NFC. And I'm not trying to disparage anybody here, but besides Jaden Daniels, who, by the way, let's see what year two looks like for Jaden Daniels before we crown him. I love watching Daniels. He's awesome. But we thought CJ Stroud was the next coming and the second, you know, going to be the next great superstar and shoot into the top five of quarterbacks in the league or whatever we thought. And their team made the playoffs, won their division, but they were not nearly as scary on offense as they were that first year. So I'm looking at the rest of the quarterbacks in the NFC. Dak Prescott, we know. Jared Goff, we know. Jordan Love might scare me a little bit, but again, we got to see what happens. Matthew Stafford is getting to the end. I feel like even San Francisco fans may be ready to bail on Brock Purdy. I don't see the quarterback murderer's row in the NFC like you do in the AFC with Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Joe Burrow. Let's see what happens with Justin Herbert year two under Jim Harbaugh. Trevor Lawrence now gets a new offensive coordinator, a new new head coach, offensive head coach. Sean Payton still here is a great head coach with Bo Nix, who's a Pro Bowler. I mean, I just see these really good quarterbacks in the AFC, and I am not seeing that type of competition in the NFC.
I hear you with the quarterbacks, but the NFC is definitely the better conference now. Like, the AFC is so top-heavy. You just get to feed all those easy wins because there's so many bad organizations right now. I think six of the top seven picks are AFC teams.
Okay, but what does it say about the NFC that your number one seed was able to be upset at home in the divisional round? Like, that was the best you had in the NFC and the Lions.
Parity, the bottom of the NFC is, the bottom of the NFC playoff field is so much better than the bottom of the AFC. Like, the AFC is god awful. I mean, the NFC destroyed the AFC in head to head this year because there's so many bad teams. I don't even know why. There's so many bad ownership groups in the AFC. So I think you get to, like, Kansas City. Yes, all of a sudden you got Harbaugh and Peyton, but they've been feasting on this, you know, bad schedule for years.
You're right. Four, I think, of the worst ownership groups in the NFL do reside in the AFC. Yeah. One is EJ's New York Jets, the Cleveland Browns, the Tennessee Titans have not shown that they're really up to snuff, and then the Raiders.
And the Jets, I think.
I said the Jets first.
Oh, sorry, you did say the Jets, yeah.
I led with the Jets.
Yeah, no, the AFC's a bit of a mess right now. I don't know, like, the Eagles beat the Ravens this year. I'm not sure that it's that big of a difference. I think the NFC is going to be good. Now, the problem is the Chiefs. The Chiefs give the AFC a lot of rings. Like, the Eagles would have a great chance of beating the Bills. It's not like that they're any worse. I'm just saying, and also, it's not that easy to get through, especially if Saquon and Jalen Hurts are not there. It's a health game with the NFL. And somehow the Chiefs just stay healthy. I don't know what they're doing.
It's crazy. They do stay healthier. Even when Mahomes is compromised, he can still win Super Bowls. He beat your Eagles on a high ankle sprain.
One year they really fell apart was against the Bucs in the Super Bowl. Remember, they had two tackles were out and they just couldn't hold up. But
They also had Tom Brady they were facing on the other side, who had a ton to prove. That defense was a sleeping giant. I mean, that Bucs team was good.
All right, yeah. But, I mean, if it was a healthy Chiefs team, that's maybe a totally different result. Remember, Shaq Barrett just ran after Mahomes the entire game. Anyway, I'm not sure I totally buy that argument. Besides, the Eagles, if the Eagles were so, you know, if it was so easy, why wouldn't the Eagles go every year? It's not like they're not like the Chiefs.
No, they're not. But I guess I'm saying I think that the Eagles would have a better shot to get back to the Super Bowl next year as opposed to the Chiefs, because this is the thing about the AFC and these quarterbacks. Like, they are always going to have the advantage quarterback-wise over any NFC opponent that they're going to face. Like, when you're listing great quarterbacks in the NFL, period, how many do you list before you get to a quarterback from the NFC?
Let's see. You go
five?
Right. But, I mean, it's not like any of those quarterbacks give Patrick Mahomes any kind of problems.
Well, they keep winning.
Only one of them has beaten him.
That's true, but that guy is in the AFC.
Right, but there's no reason to think that any of those quarterbacks are going to knock Patrick Mahomes out of the playoffs.
Well, I mean, yes, you're right. We haven't seen it yet. I hear you, but it's not like they're walkovers either. It's not like, you know, your team beat the Commanders. It was a blowout. You know, these are good games. I sound like a loser's lament. These are good games, though, and these are tough opponents. This has not been easy for the Chiefs.
Well, right. I don't know. I mean, the great quarterback argument in the AFC is going to make it tough for the Chiefs. It's not working out that way.
855-212-4227. See you guys on the phones. Let's go to Gary, who's in Vancouver. Gary, you rooting for a Chiefs three-peat or Chiefs loss?
I want to thank your producer for letting me on. I don't really care. I'm more of a hockey fan, but even then, I'm sick and tired of it. And I'll tell you why. And I told you, I wanted to get into it with your producer, but he wanted me to tell you.
Yeah. Well, that's how it generally goes.
We'll
give you EJ's cell phone, though, and his personal info. You guys can talk after the show. Wait, what are you sick of, though, Gary? You're sick of the Chiefs? You're sick of football?
I'm sick of all of it, and I'll tell you why. When you watch the Super Bowl, it starts, the pregame starts 4 or 5 or maybe as much as 6 hours ahead of time. Like, how much can you listen to until you're just ready to vomit?
Gary, hold on. Hold on a second. Is Roger Goodell sitting in your living room holding you hostage? You don't have to watch it if you don't want to.
No, I'm aware of that. But what I'm saying to you is that if, you know, I don't mind watching an hour of it, then I might actually watch the halftime entertainment. By the way, who's doing the halftime? Can you tell me that?
Your favorite artist.
Kendrick Lamar with a special guest star of SZA,
of
course, Gary.
Are you joking? No. Goodbye. You know, if they did John Fogerty, that'd be fine. But that? Are you kidding me? Goodbye.
Gary, you got to write a strongly worded letter to the NFL. By the way, NFL went through a stretch where it was Tom Petty. It was...
Yeah, that was out 25 years ago.
Paul McCartney. Yeah. It was U2. It was...
Yeah. Wasn't The Who 1 year?
The Who. We did classic rock.
Yeah, a long time ago.
We should bring back George Harrison and John Lennon to go ahead and do a little halftime bit as well. I mean, come on, Gary. Stop being so miserable. Good God.
Can we dig
go outside. Go for a walk. Go do some pond hockey, bud. My goodness.
I don't understand that joke exactly.
Can we dig up Frank Sinatra?
I was like, geez, guys, this is getting morbid.
You could have named the living Beatles.
But that's the point. All these has-beens, man, from 30 years ago, they still want them to perform. They want their skin and bones out there trying to perform out there. It's ridiculous, man. Shut up.
Well,
still think
easy,
you could have chosen living people.
I mean,
like
Ringo
John Lennon.
Star
jeez,
could have been there.
John Lennon got shot, dude.
Yeah, 1980.
Yeah, I know. I'm so...
You know that?
Yeah, December of 1980.
How do you know that random fact? You know nothing that happened before the year 2000.
Wikipedia.
That's a little scary. Are you happy about the halftime show? We didn't even talk about this yet.
Yeah, I definitely am, because I have a bunch of friends who are big Kendrick Lamar fans. My buddy Seton from Dan Patrick Show is like follows Kendrick around the country. So I'm very curious to see this. And the girls like SZA. But that being said, I'll be at the game. I probably will not watch the halftime show because I'll probably be desperately trying to get food.
Right. It's a long day. That's exciting that you're going to be at the game.
Yeah.
We didn't announce that to the audience yet, but I think they could have probably figured it out.
Yeah. Well, are you excited for Kendrick Lamar? I'm curious, and EJ, you're a big Kendrick fan. Do you think he'll do like a big Lady Gaga type physical routine, or will it just be more straight to camera?
I don't know if it'll be physical. It's probably going to be more visuals, right? Like really cool set designs, really cool imagery. He's not Michael Jackson. He's not going to go out there and start doing the moonwalk, but it's going to be more about the visuals because he's excellent. His music videos are awesome in terms of like creating those kind of very cool visuals.
So he's not coming in like with the harnesses from the roof. That's not
cannot
his
I
thing.
Cannot imagine that.
Gaga raised the bar pretty high. I mean, that was after that. Like, I would not want to perform after her. I mean, swooping in from the top, that was amazing.
She jumped. It looked like she jumped from the roof. I was never sure if that was really just some kind of optical illusion or something.
Oh, yeah. I guess
I wasn't there for that one.
You always say that, bro. I don't really remember the Gaga performance like that. I don't, like, it didn't. Like,
she started off, she was on the top of the stadium. I don't remember what stadium it was. Hard Rock? I have no idea.
It was an outdoor stadium, I think, yeah.
And then she looked like she jumped in with the harness on, obviously. Yeah. And then all of a sudden she was in the arena.
That's all I remember from it. Now she does these commercials for a drug. Have you guys seen those Lady Gaga? They run during games sometimes. Yeah. Lady is for Sky Rizzy or something like that.
Yeah.
It's kind of sad.
I don't know what she's suffering from that she does the drug. Every time a drug commercial comes on, my eyes just glaze over because I don't know. They're so busy singing and dancing while they're telling you these awful side effects. Like, I just can't. It never computes in my brain.
I don't even realize commercials are happening until Perloff's like, "Did you see that commercial yesterday?" I was like, "No." As soon as the game ends and Kevin Harlan's like back to break, I'm just a zombie.
Except
I don't know.
You know the Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce are 90% of them.
Yeah, because that Bundeluski, like that's the one thing that cuts through every time. It's so weird.
I mean, it shows that that ad is effective, sadly, because we have to see it more times. I wonder if they run that during the Super Bowl.
I think they've got a whole other thing planned. Thomas is in Wisconsin.
Not about that, so.
Thomas, what do you think? Kendrick Lamar at halftime, you in or out?
Oh, early workout. So.
Thomas. If you have some time that you want
to... Let's just listen.
Chat.
I mean, even virtually, too.
Yeah. So.
Could happen virtually.
Thomas, I just wanted to make sure you're putting enough time in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sounds good.
All right, I'm gonna put that on pause. That suddenly got really personal.
I think we should hang up on that one.
Yeah, I put him on hold.
Yeah.
I kind of want to know what they're talking about, though. You never want to eavesdrop on a couple having a conversation?
Not in that case, no.
Okay.
Am I alone here? I'm a decent human being.
There's something about... you're not a not decent human being if you're curious about other humans. And like their interactions, it's a little voyeur. I get that, but it's like real life. No.
Sure.
Just plead ignorance.
Yeah.
Plead ignorance. No, I didn't. We're from New York. I'm from New York City, Maggie. I don't people watch. I don't eavesdrop because that's how you end up being a witness. No.
That's true.
But the people watching here is elite. You don't people watch?
Do not care, no. Again, I do not want to be a witness because I don't want my whole day to be derailed 2 months later being interrogated in a dark room in the NYPD precinct. I'm good.
Just because you happen to overhear...
Too busy.
To a couple getting into an argument.
100%. Yeah. None of my biz.
But they weren't getting in an argument. They were just having a calm conversation. All right, guys. No fun.
Damn right.
Manny just keeping his head down like, the feds aren't coming, dude. 855-212-4227. Joe's in California. Good morning, Joe.
Hey, I think, Saquon can do the same thing he did this year if he get the ball. Like, Bo Jackson got the ball half the time. He's done it. You know, O.J. Simpson's done it. Eric Dickerson's done it. But a lot of teams go away from the run and start going to the pass. So if you don't get enough carries, you're going to have.
But yeah, but Bo Jackson got hurt, and he actually didn't carry the ball that much, but he got hurt. So
yeah,
that's not a great
model.
He
get 1,000 yards a year carrying the ball half the time.
I mean, Bo Jackson's a goat. So
no, I love Joe's point. Half the carries, but same production. Is that what you're saying, Joe? He can do just as much, even if he doesn't have the same amount of carries.
Yeah. And then in my house, you know, I'm always an underdog, you know, like when every Christmas they would have the Warriors on TV. My daughter, she's a Warriors fan.
Mm-hmm.
I was rooting for Cleveland. I was winning.
when we came
to Kansas City, you know, she's a 49ers fan. So I beat her all the time on underdog stuff. And this year she's telling me, "Hey, can you get my son a Kansas City Chiefs jersey?" I thought she was a 49ers fan.
Man, Joe, your daughter and Andrew Perloff have a ton in common. The bandwagoning is out of control. Thank you for the call.
All right, Bo Jackson never got like more than 800 yards in a season, right? That was the thing. He was sharing time with Marcus Allen.
Mm-hmm.
And even his whole hip ripped off his body. That's not a great sign for Saquon.
Yeah, that was an unfortunate injury. And also felt kind of fluky, right?
Yeah, definitely. Except that he ran and did everything so hard. The dude would break bats over his knee, so he was cruising for a bruising.
People still say that?
No. My dad used to say that. You're cruising for a bruising, young man.
No, that's what Manny would be doing if he was listening to other people's conversation. He thinks he'd be cruising for a bruising.
Complete ignorance. Keep your head down. I do not know anything, officer.
Thomas is in Wisconsin. Thomas, you're back. Full disclosure, we heard a tiny bit of the conversation you were having with a woman, and she said something to the effect of she just wants to make sure you're putting enough time in.
Yes. Good morning. That was my mom. Oh, shout out to my mom. She's awesome, let me tell you. So she was just coming in for a morning workout here at our recreational Eagle Center here.
Oh, love it. Okay.
On the University of Wisconsin lacrosse campus. But anyway.
Are you putting the time in?
Yes, to my anatomy and physiology. It's a hard effing class. Like, the professor says that. Listen, y'all, listen. Before I get into sports here, and I do have sports to talk about, but the professor said that day one. yesterday, Monday, that is. So,
you've been warned. You better put the work in.
It's a Dane big class. Like, we're talking like 7,500 people in a row. So
good. Way to clean that up too for terrestrial radio. We know you wanted to say a different word, and we appreciate you not saying it.
Mm-hmm. Not national sports talk. No, I got to keep it.
Yeah, keep it for the kids. Okay, so what do you think about the Chiefs and the Eagles in the Super Bowl, pal?
Maggie and my guy Perloff, here's what I think. My personal opinion, I would have cared for Eagles and Bills. Eagles, oh man, what are the difference? Eagles, Bills, Eagles, Commanders, any combination besides the Chiefs and the Eagles, they're in part, I would have taken. So I'm not exactly thrilled. I don't know if I'll necessarily give them airtime and free money. I may like listen, that is Westwood One radio.
Shout out. Great broadcast.
That's what I'm saying, dog. Like, what? Kevin Harlan, man? Kind of the GOAT. So, yeah. So, I mean, Kendrick Lamar is going to be a great show with SZA, too. I have a roommate that absolutely, he lives and breathes and dies like Kendrick Lamar. So he's absolutely going to love it. And, my question that I told EJ, and I want to get your opinion of it, and I'm going to hang off here and talk to a buddy of mine who's also working out, and that is, which professional sports league, in your mind, Maggie, Perloff, Bogues, EJ, the entire crew, do you guys think has the best regular season? Like,
yeah, Thomas,
like a fan.
Love the question. To me, simplest answer. This, Thomas, thank you, and keep putting in that work, man. Professor warned you it was going to be a tough class. Anatomy?
Warned in syllabus week.
I think that's smart. Just warn, let kids drop the class if they don't want to put in the work.
That's what I do as a teacher, but anyway.
This is the easiest question to answer for me. The best regular season by far in sports is college football.
Yeah. To me, it's NFL. Because college football has all those dud weeks in the beginning because the scheduling is so awful now. Like September 14th think about the college football schedule. How often do you get to see top 10 teams play each other?
Well, I usually get something really good kickoff week. Now, because the college football playoff, they might ruin this now, and the sport may ruin it. But up until this point, I would at least get a couple really good ones kickoff weekend. And then how often do you get Appalachian State over Michigan? I got Northern Illinois beating Notre Dame this year. Yeah. Even sometimes it's worth it, I think, for those every once in a blue moon upsets. And then you get into the conference play, and then you're home free.
Yeah, I would vote NFL because every there's so much on the line every week.
Yeah, but is there with an 18-week schedule and 17 games? Like, Philadelphia Eagles started 2-2, didn't matter. Then they went 14-3 the rest of the way. I mean, the Bengals started 1-4. They almost made the playoffs. Like,
yeah, because
the beginning of the season doesn't matter.
Because every single person I know is either betting on it or fantasy. Like, every Sunday is a huge deal. Same is true with college, but you don't have the fantasy thing. Just college is a piece of the schedule. There's just so many bad weeks, in my opinion. And also now with the 12-team playoff, we know it's just a matter of time. It's going to go to 16. It's going to become college basketball.
855-212-4227. You can let us know. Best regular season. Thank you, Thomas. Wisconsin putting in the work. We have a lot more to do, including a thought on one of the most exciting quarterbacks in the NFL. Who is it? We'll talk about him next.
Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. All right, I got bad news for fantasy owners who have Saquon on their team next year in one of those carryover leagues. Here is how 2,000-yard rushers did the next season. OJ, 1,125 yards. Eric Dickerson, 1,200 yards. Barry Sanders had the best year, 1,491, but he's Barry Sanders. Terrell Davis, 211 yards. Jamal Lewis, 1,000 yards. He was down 50%. Chris Johnson, 1,300 yards. He had a good year. And then Adrian Peterson, 1,200 yards. So my argument is that Saquon had too many carries. The Eagles knew they were using him up. There's no way he stays healthy next year, especially considering his health history. He's going to be Christian McCaffrey 2.0, and the Eagles will not make the Super Bowl next year, unfortunately.
So if you lose the Super Bowl to the Chiefs, is it doubly devastating? Because you not only would you have lost now twice to the Chiefs, but also you basically have ran Saquon into the ground, and you're not even going to have the Lombardi to show for it.
Yeah, yes and no. It doesn't feel, I'm going to compare it to your Bills.
Yeah.
The Eagles have a ring. There's a little bit, in my opinion, feeling like this wasn't necessarily supposed to be the year. We're a little bit above expectations. So I don't think it's the most heartbreaking loss. But then again, when it's actually in the final minute and Mahomes kills him again, it will hurt. It doesn't feel like it's not the same as your Bills. Does that make sense? Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I mean, but you still, and I don't, yes, it, listen, my Bills don't have a Super Bowl, so I don't know what this right. feels like. But let's be fair, you guys have won. And I'm not trying to, like, one's better than zero. I'm not someone to talk. But one, considering how good the team is yeah. that, you know, Aaron Rodgers got one, and it's looked at as a disappointment because he's such a great quarterback. You know, to just get one when you've had all these bites at the apple, doesn't that feel a bit disappointing?
A bit, but they're not like Aaron Rodgers where every year they were the number one seed. They kind of up and down. I mean, did you see this coming with the Eagles in your wildest dreams?
I thought Nick Sirianni was the first coach fired. Yeah. I felt pretty good about that. So, no, I did not see it coming.
I don't know how far off you were on that take.
Well, also,
they were 2-2. It didn't seem great.
If the Detroit Lions don't get totally decimated on defense and lose a home game to a rookie quarterback, I don't know if you are in the Super Bowl. I don't know if the Eagles were the best team all year.
No, I mean, absolutely not. And the fact that the NFC title game was in the lake was gigantic. Imagine if they had to go on the road. They're a different team. So I do feel like this is house money a little bit. Now, maybe that's me rationalizing because we're about to face Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, get your excuses ready.
I mean, the Chiefs are pretty darn good. I just feel like it's going to, and not to preview the game, but don't you feel like it's going to be some pass into the flat with a minute and a half left, and it's going to get a key first down and kill us? The Samaje Perine play is going to happen. It's inevitable. It's like the universe just fixes everything so Patrick Mahomes gets a key first down.
Well, you forgot also about a painful penalty like James Bradbury, defensive pass interference or defensive holding, whatever it was.
Or a fourth down measurement that just doesn't seem right.
Oh, no, there's a million painful ways you can lose this game.
But it's not going to be as bad. And I'm sorry, this is going to be sound like a pile on. It's not going to be as bad as your Bills loss because there was so much pressure on the Bills
yeah.
to break through this year. Probably we put too much pressure on them. Everything was riding on this year. Felt like they needed this win. Maybe that wasn't a great idea.
You know, can I be honest? I felt like there was way more pressure on the Bills last year.
This year
was like a mini rebuild, they thought. Got rid of Diggs. A lot of people picked the Jets to win the division, including you and me.
Did they have to win their last six games to make the playoffs last year?
Yeah, they did. But I think there was a lot of pressure going into the season. Josh Allen was preseason MVP.
Definitely.
There was just a lot riding on that year.
But I think it was in the postseason, I think there was a lot more on the Bills
okay,
this year.
Okay, but let's talk about that because now we've been describing and unpacking just how unlikable the Chiefs maybe have become. How much was it pressure on the Bills to actually break through, and how much was it people just wanted to see the Bills win to vanquish Kansas City? Like, they put their hopes and dreams into the Bills just because they wanted a different matchup in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That could be that. There is a narrative that it's time for Josh Allen to break through.
They're not wrong.
A lot of people say he's too good to not have ever made a Super Bowl. Same with Lamar Jackson. By the way, I think the Ravens might have been a better matchup for the Chiefs this year. Regardless, maybe the Ravens could have given him a better run because they had probably learned a lot in last year's AFC title loss.
I mean, it was a 3-point loss. Yeah. Like, it was a good game.
I hear you.
The Bills did give him a run. I don't know. So I was on with our pal Bart Winkler the other day.
Yeah.
Nice Bart, nice enough to have me on. Does 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. on a lot of these same Infinity Sports Network stations. Definitely check him out. He does a great job with our man Carlos behind the glass. But he was asking me, as a Bills fan, do I get worried because while Tom Brady and the Patriots were so dominant for 20 years, there was that stretch in the middle, that 9-year stretch where they didn't win a Super Bowl. And during that stretch, some other people did get a chance to win. So Ben Roethlisberger still has a ring. Why am I blanking here? Peyton Manning was able to break through. Joe Flacco even was able to break through. Like, a lot of people still won rings in the Brady era.
Yeah, but not a lot of people got out of the AFC. He still was in a bunch of Super Bowls.
So many, but there were other people who got a shot who are known to be the great quarterbacks of that era. Of course, Philip Rivers is not that guy, and I've seen a lot of comparisons now, Josh and Philip Rivers so far. But he kind of made a good point. Like, there still are other great quarterbacks who thrived in the Brady era. Even going to the NFC, Aaron Rodgers did get his ring, you know? Your Eagles did win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Russell Wilson did get a ring, you know?
Matt Stafford got a ring.
Well, but Brady was at the very end.
Right, well, in the middle of the Mahomes era.
Oh, in the middle.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like, I don't know if that's going to happen, though, necessarily. Mahomes feels way more dominant.
We're talking about No.
Which is weird to say.
It won't be like that. Guys are going to break through. There's going to be many Super Bowl winning quarterbacks. I mean, it's been two in a row. It's not like it's been that long. I mean, the confetti is still on the ground at SoFi from Matt Stafford. Tom Brady won, an old Tom Brady won. This is not going to be Michael Jordan. Do you think it will be?
When's this going to stop? Mahomes is the same age, basically, as Josh Allen. Andy Reid's in his 60s. We just saw Pete Carroll get hired at 73.
I think they're
going to keep coaching.
I think they're going to kill the AFC, but I think the NFC starts stealing some Super Bowls. There are a lot of really young. There are a lot of good young players in the NFC.
Okay, but is Mahomes going to keep Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert, CJ Stroud? Is he going to keep Trevor Lawrence? Is he going to keep all these guys from Joe Burrow?
Lawrence, yeah. Yeah, but a lot of them are on flawed teams. Joe Burrow, that's a bit of a mess.
Oh, man. Can you imagine having Joe Burrow put up the type of season he had and you didn't even, like, you needed 100 things to go your way in the final week of the season to get in? That's just crazy to me. Bogish has headlines for us. Hey, Bogues.
Enough with the Burt.
I never know if these stories are honest decisions or guys getting ahead of losing out on a job. Here's Mike McCarthy, apparently now focused on next winter's hiring cycle. He was theoretically under consideration in New Orleans, but he and the Saints had never actually scheduled an interview. And then there's Cliff Kingsbury. We were told yesterday he would remain Commanders OC as if he was in the running for something else, but Kingsbury declined interviews while Washington was still playing, and he didn't appear to be on the Saints' wish list. The Cowboys have hired Matt Eberflus as defensive coordinator and Nick Sorensen as special teams coordinator. Sorensen ran the Niners' D this season, and it appears that Mike Vrabel will not retain Brian Belichick. Bill's other son was the Patriots' safeties coach the last 5 years and had been on staff in New England since 2016. One of the hottest teams in men's college basketball is number 15, St. John's.
The entry pass goes to Sorber, drives it into the middle instead, stumbles down, loses the ball, picked up by Wilcher. Wilcher to Lewis, ahead of the field, and a windmill jam for R.J. Lewis, and it's 37-9.
That's our friend John Minko on Learfield. The Johnnies racing to a 30-point first-half lead last night at Georgetown. They beat the Hoyas 66-41, extending their win streak to 7. That is their longest Big East winning streak in 25 years.
41 points in 40 minutes?
10th ranked. Listen, the Knicks are enough out of you. 10th ranked Louisville on a 10-game run after downing Wake Forest 72-59. And number 7, Michigan State, has won 13 straight courtesy of a 73-51 decision over Minnesota. Playing for the third time in 4 nights, the Bucks took a 125-112 loss in Portland. That 112 really bothered Doc Rivers.
I thought our offense was awful. I really did. I don't care if we were scoring. We didn't have the beautiful ball movement, next pass, hitting the open guy the entire night. We just didn't. The ball stuck all night.
Rare spin doctor these days. They win more than they lose now.
I know. We had the spin doctor already for Doc Rivers, but he doesn't have to make up a lot of excuses. This one seems like he was pretty on the money. He wasn't trying to just, like, shirk any responsibility for their loss. It seemed like this one really was on the players.
Yeah, didn't say we were tired or anything like that. Just, like,
yeah, no excuses.
Pass the ball, bros.
Still want to hear the spin doctor, though. He'll be back.
Oh,
of course.
He's just
laying in the weeds right now.
April and May, that's when the tour starts.
I think the problem is they got off to such a bad start. The excuses came in like a fury, and then they started winning, and now he kind of ran out of all his best material in like the first week. They were like 0-5 or something crazy.
Got him out of the way.
Yeah.
The Lakers lost in Philly last night, 118-104, and Anthony Davis made an early exit with a pulled abdominal muscle. The Rockets pushed their win streak to 4-196 in Atlanta, and the Warriors topped the Jazz, 114-103. Steph Curry did not play with sore knees, but he should be out there tonight against the Thunder. Meanwhile, the Warriors, among the teams being relinked to a Jimmy Butler trade now, apparently Miami's asking price has come down a bit. Brittany Griner is signing with the Atlanta Dream. She has only played for the Mercury since being drafted number 1 back in 2013. And at least Maggie still has the Sabres, right? They took care of the Bruins last night, 7-2. Tage Thompson, their Josh Allen, had 3 goals and an assist.
So he's not going to win a Super Bowl.
I was going to say, congrats to him. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? No. I'm just kidding.
Sabres are awful.
They are. I have a question for you quickly about Mike McCarthy. So you mentioned it, former Dallas head coach, going to take the year off, though it didn't really seem like the Saints were that interested. Looks like Kellen Moore is going to be their guy, Eagles offensive coordinator. Good broadcaster, bad broadcaster? What do we think about Big Mike?
Oh, my God.
I'm assuming he's going to go into the media, right?
He didn't last time, did he?
He did not, but no. This is the easiest way to get your stock back up.
Yeah.
A couple McAfee appearances, and all of a sudden, you know, you're a hot candidate.
I say like John Fox bad.
I think he'd be horrendous. I agree with Perloff. Sure. And I feel bad because I kind of like McCarthy as a person.
You don't think he could be fun and folksy?
No.
You don't think McAfee's going to have him on? They're both Pittsburgh guys. Like, this is going to be a Pittsburgh yins bro down.
I told you this before about McCarthy. There's something about the way he talks where I think he's obviously a smart guy. To be an NFL head coach, I think you have to be smart and like win games the way he has. But he just the way he talks, the breathing, the ums, the long
the breathing. The long all
breaks.
Breathe.
I mean, look, maybe this is me and my job because I cut so much sound. But like, I've watched so many press conferences of him, and he just
wait,
he
you
sounds
can't,
like
you
guy
can't
who doesn't know what he's talking about, even though he does
breathing.
Yeah, retread coaches are not good announcers. I mean, Bruce Arians was not good, and he's an incredible personality. That's never a formula. Like the older coach is always kind of boring.
But Belichick had like 19 jobs.
Right.
So there's a lot of openings in podcasts and fantasy world coming up here soon.
I thought you meant like a color job, like
studio,
calling games.
Maybe he just does a little ESPN.
Even studio, except for Jimmy. It's not a great formula all the time.
Let a naysayer know.
I mean, you're saying like this Bill Amazing. Belichick, like CW, like weird podcast route? Maybe, but... I mean,
maybe he goes to Barstool like Gruden and, you know, he's breaking down film and moving around some of the guys there. And all of a sudden you look like a genius.
I think he wants to coach. Well, I mean, we know he wants to coach. He's going to be afraid to say anything that could mess something up. He's not going to criticize anybody. He's not going to have any real thoughts.
Well, you can criticize strategically like Belichick this year, 19 media jobs. And he basically just criticized the Patriots and the Jets. Two places he knew he wasn't going to coach until he tried, I guess, with the Jets.
So McCarthy can bash the Cowboys and the Packers?
Basically. Okay. Two places you know you're not going.
But I don't think McCarthy has a leverage, though. He doesn't have the success of Belichick. Like, he's a marginal NFL coach anyway.
I think there's some truth to that. Like, him calling out some other coach for their, like, clock management is going to look like, kettle and pot, you know?
He wasn't blistering hot when the Cowboys signed him. I mean, the Cowboys signed him. Like, Mike McCarthy, I don't think is going to be able to pick his own job.
Not trying to point fingers here. What's the difference between him and Bill Cowher? Bill Cowher, who we all respect, like. I'm just saying, he won one Super Bowl.
Then he left.
But there were some high-profile losses that Bill Cowher also had, and he's wildly respected.
Because he left. He's retired.
No, I'm just saying he went to broadcasting, and...
Yeah, I'm just
What's
saying. Well,
the difference?
It's a huge difference. Bill Cowher, and maybe I have my timing wrong, he won his Super Bowl and walked away. Mike McCarthy won his Super Bowl and had 14 disappointing years. It's like a massive difference.
I don't know. I'm just saying we're talking about resumes.
I also feel like in Cowher, he had 1 year after the Super Bowl, but like I feel like even though he lost a lot of big games, I don't think we thought of Cowher as being like a bozo. And, like, I don't know if Mike McCarthy deserves that, but that's what people think of him. I'm just being real.
Yeah, Rodgers kind of gutted McCarthy at the end of the day.
Yeah, like, Rodgers, they did some damage. I think that a lot of, like, Cowboys fans are all over McCarthy for every mistake he makes. They kind of make him sound like he's a dope. Again, I don't think he is. But I think all the perception of him doesn't help. I think Cowher, we always respected him.
Okay.
So, okay, you lost to the Patriots. Well, Bill Belichick probably cheated.
But well, that's how I think a lot of people think.
I think he's a bum.
McCarthy, I think, then should probably go into broadcasting. And if he has the ability to be folksy, big folksy football guy, like, we love that. He could be John Madden. You don't know. He's not going to be John Madden, but you know what I'm saying. Like, maybe he has a way of communicating to the public that is something we haven't seen yet.
I'd be shocked because I've seen a million Mike McCarthy interviews. He just doesn't strike me as somebody who'd be entertaining, but. Maybe you're right, but he didn't do it last time, so that's kind of where I'm thinking, like, he's not interested. Like, he wants to coach.
855-212-4227. Bogues, thanks so much. Coming up, we are all making a big prediction for the offseason. We'll do that next.
Wow. What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We get back to Super Bowl matchup in just a moment. We're asking you today, would you rather see a Chiefs three-peat or the Chiefs lose? But Pearl, one of the big rivals of the Chiefs historically and recently has been the Raiders. Las Vegas introducing Pete Carroll on Monday and their new GM, John Spytek. Now, we know Tom Brady's involved, and this is a good moment, I think, for the Raiders. It's been pretty dark days, and now at least it seems like they have some competent direction in the building.
Mm-hmm.
We know Pete Carroll's got the bona fides. So one of the big pieces of the puzzle is who's going to play quarterback for this team. So today we're going to do a little exercise where everyone on the show is going to write down who they think will be the starting quarterback for the Raiders week one of the 2025 season.
I need a pen.
There you go.
So, okay, we're writing down. Are we going to reveal our picks today, or are we going to reveal them in August?
No, today. Going to make the audience wait.
Why do we have to write them down? We could just say them, though.
No, we got to keep ourselves honest, because sometimes some people like to bandwagon jump, kind of change their opinions, and so if we write it down, well, now you can't change it.
That's ridiculous.
Okay.
You're saying I just lie about what I predicted?
We are the New York Knicks.
Sometimes. Okay, just kidding. Who will be the starting quarterback for the Las Vegas Raiders week one of the 2025 NFL season? Go ahead, sir. Who's written down on your sheet of paper?
Russell Wilson.
Explain yourself.
Well, they interviewed Daryl Bevel, who is Pete Carroll's offensive coordinator in Seattle from 2011 to 2017. Bring the gang back together. So the beggars can't be choosers. Yesterday I said Aaron Rodgers because Brett Favre is a Daryl Bevel guy and history likes to repeat itself. But you convinced me, Maggie Gray, that there's no way the Jets are not going to keep Aaron Rodgers because they have zero other options. Zero. So Rodgers stays with the Jets. Russell goes to the Raiders. Russell's a free agent. It makes much more sense cap-wise. And they go stay with the old theme in Vegas, the retirement home, Pete Carroll, Russell Wilson, bring the gang back together. Wilson knows Bevel's offense really well, so they're going to want continuity, assuming that they do hire him. And it seems very likely that Daryl Bevel will be the next offensive coordinator.
Can I ask you a question, though? What if the Steelers, who we heard from Art Rooney earlier this week, he did a sit-down interview with one of their broadcasters, and he said the preference is to keep either Russell Wilson or Justin Fields. What if the Steelers go to Russell Wilson and say, we want to keep you?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to want to pay him anything, though. They're going to try and lowball him. To keep they're going to want total flexibility cap-wise. So I think the Raiders could probably, if they really wanted them, outbid them. And we're not talking for a lot of money.
Okay. My pick for this, who will be the Raiders starting quarterback week one, 2025, Shedeur Sanders. I think as the draft process goes along, I know you have Tennessee and Cleveland picking at the top of the draft. I know that's who you have to jump, right? Because the New York Giants are picking at three. So you have to get up to one or two, most likely. I don't know if the draft process is going to be great to these two dudes.
Okay.
I think we're going to pick them apart. And while the draft process is usually awesome for quarterbacks because we get to see them throw in shorts and they always look great, I think people are going to nitpick Shedeur a lot. And I also think Dion's going to get involved, and he's going to steer Shedeur towards who? Tom Brady. Tom Brady and Pete Carroll. I think Dion would trust both of those two gentlemen that they would have the best interest for Shedeur, and they have the better chance to succeed as opposed to Tennessee, who's a mess. Cleveland is a mess. And let's be honest, the Giants haven't been doing a lot of winning lately. So I think Dion gets involved. I think it gets messy. And I think he is the starting quarterback for the Las Vegas Raiders.
I like it. I like it.
All right, quickly, EJ and Manny, we got about a minute.
I wrote here,
Kirk Cousins.
Okay.
I think that he's obviously going to be needing a new home because Atlanta is certainly not going to keep him. I think that Vegas will look at him and say, hey, put him back in a dome, indoor stadium. I think they want a veteran presence. I don't think they'll be able to get those top two guys. So I'm going with Kirk.
Manny, who'd you write down?
Vegas, let's raid. I got Russell Wilson. I think that there's a certain comfort with Russell Wilson and his new or the new head coach with the Raiders. And why not get the quarterback that nearly defeated the part owner in a Super Bowl if it weren't for passing the ball at the 1 yard line?
Yeah.
Let's pillage. How about that? Not let's raid.
Raiders Nation, let's pillage.
Yeah, I like that.
It's so lame.
I mean, oh my God, the Raiders would give Russ so many opportunities for catchphrases. By the way, how about Russ and Shedeur Sanders? A little combo platter. Or Kirk and Shedeur Sanders. A bridge quarterback might help.
Well, the only thing is, don't you have to trade for Kirk? Is he still under contract? No,
but they might cut
Kirk. They're going to cut him.
Oh, they're going to cut
him. Yeah,
they're
going to cut him.
Yeah, they're going to cut him. Okay. So I was going to say, you can't put draft capital towards trading for Kirk Cousins. That'd be nuts.
By the way, there was a headline today. The Browns were talking a lot about they don't think Deion will stand in the way of getting Shedeur. Maybe they're wrong, but I think there is a good chance. You're totally right. They will get nitpicked. These are not the best prospects. And it is 1-2 Ward Shedeur.
I think Deion is not going to allow Shedeur to go to Cleveland.
I think Cleveland might be interesting.
It is a quarterback graveyard there.
It might be interesting to some people. I mean, they remember when Odell Beckham Jr. was there and Baker Mayfield? They were a high-profile, buzzy team.
And what happened? The front office got rid of both of them. Odell Beckham's dad had to go on social media on a campaign to get him out of there. And then
The front office didn't do that. Odell got him out of there.
But then Baker, they actually did have a good, competent quarterback, clearly, and they ran him out of town for Deshaun Watson.
Well, no, Baker was done in Cleveland. That wasn't going nowhere. I just think that Cleveland is not as bad a place as you think. I mean, they have some talent. They have a good O-line, some receivers.
Man, that is just where quarterbacks go to die. All right, that's our picks for who's going to be the Raiders starting quarterback next year. Coming up next, it's Wednesday, which means the great debate.